passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
College football season is now over. I know some of you thought it ended a couple of days earlier, but we have a champion. It is the University of Michigan, and we'll talk all about it this afternoon. This is what happened. Didn't take long. This was the ice on the top of the cake. They would add one more later, but really about three or four plays into it, you could tell it was going to be over. It started to look a little bit like last year. That's JJ kissing the trophy. That's Harbaugh. And Jim Harbaugh saying, we were innocent. Too late in the year to even respond to that, but it's only a matter of hours, days, whatever it is, before Jim Harbaugh probably takes off for the NFL, where he once coached the San Francisco 49ers to a Super Bowl. More to talk about today other than just that. FSU fans are not happy. The FBI notified, the FBI was notified about threats coming against them. Another ugly look for an ugly season down in Tallahassee. Final rankings are out. Where's your favorite team? How about this? Michigan won, of course. Washington came in two. Texas. Why wouldn't Georgia have been higher? Georgia jumped Bama. Bama, for the second year in a row, finishes fifth. You can do the interpretation on what that means, if anything. Georgia is already ranked number one for next year. It did not take long. Some people claiming they are the best team in the country, but they don't have the trophy to back that up. Kevin Steele is gone. Legendary career. Three stints at Alabama. Coached at Auburn, coached at Clemson. He will coach no more. Hugh Freeze is going to call the plays. Who thought this was going to happen? Pretty much everyone. Well, that's where we are on the day after Michigan wins the national championship. Let's get some thoughts on that from our man Roman Harper joining us. Roman, good afternoon. And still, I'm assuming that's an Alabama A, or is that Arizona? I can't tell.
You know what, Paul? It's an A club A, so A it's a little A. bit different. It's a little bit of next level. We don't just let that out to everybody, so it's all good.
I was looking last night. I saw Travis Scott. I saw Michael Jordan, Stephen A, Derek Jeter, but I didn't see you. I mean, that's the kind of crowd you normally hang with.
So this is where we're starting that already. It's okay. I appreciate that you even bring up the likes of those guys.
If you think I want to talk about Michigan winning, you're wrong. I want to talk about what's going on.
Well, that's what I thought we were going to talk about, but clearly we're going to go everywhere else but there. And that's fine. That's why I enjoy coming on with you today, Paul. I would have loved to have been in that room. Those are some all-time winners, man. I mean, that's almost in the room you should have been in. You hang out with Stephen A. more than I do.
Well, I feel
like you're going to be closer in that room than I am.
And he was talking during the break, and I didn't know about it. I didn't see the shot. And I'm like, well, what's he talking about? He said, yeah, I was with Michael. So I guess what I ask you, and you won the Super Bowl, so you've been to some parties, of course. So what's the best room you've ever been in?
Oh, you know what? Paul, honestly, man, I'm so messed up. I've been in some really great rooms, but the problem with me is that the party doesn't start till I get there. So I don't even know who's really in the room because it's really just about me when I arrive. So that's how I live. But yeah, that's always been my thought process. So I couldn't tell you like who's been in a great room with me.
I can answer the question. Probably the biggest group I've ever been with a couple of months ago, we did this a couple of times. I went out, not because of you, but because of Laura. I went out, I sat at a table with you and Laura and Jordan Rogers. I mean, that to me was like, I mean, that's equal to Michael, Travis. So of that group, by the way, Roman, in that box, Stephen A. looked like he was holding court.
He did. I mean, did you see that jacket he had on? I mean, he was looking fresh. He was trying to fill himself out. And especially, and you got to have a certain type of mentality when you're in a room full of alpha athletes and you're the most non-athletic guy in the room. So at that point, you do have to try and contain yourself in some kind of way or fashion. And I applaud Stephen A because he did a good job with it.
Well, I'll take it back. We were at a party once. I don't know if you were there at Auburn. I believe we were at Alan Green's house, the former athletic director.
Yeah, that was a year before. Yeah,
I was in a small room with Tim Cook, the head of Apple, and then there was Barkley and Bo, like in another room, and Tebow.
That's a really heavy hitter room right there. I don't know if that room has as many championships as the one that saw Stephen A in last night. And so at that point, you know, when you can start counting championships inside of a room, that's big time. So, look, I haven't been in any of these rooms. I think it's really cool that we even caught that moment. Look, Paul, last night I didn't even see the first half of the game because I was at my daughter's basketball practice. Okay. And so I was just happy. I didn't even have to watch the whole thing. I got to catch up with all the highlights of the first half. I went back and watched it, saw the second half. I mean, I think the one thing that at first you got to give Michigan credit, I know you don't want to talk about this game, but I'll talk about it just for a minute because that's why they called me on to be on the show, not to talk about Stephen A and his famous room he's in, because I wasn't there. So it's not even that cool. So, you know, you caught up with the highlights. Can we not talk about that? Washington had a chance to really come back. I feel bad for them because they got that far and they didn't play a good game. In the biggest moment, same thing could be said about Alabama, but we can also say that Michigan kind of forced them to play in those type of games. Michigan really ground and pounded these guys, beat them up, but beat them on both sides of the ball physically up front. But at the end of the day, that holding call that was called for Washington and the one that wasn't called for Michigan was really huge right there in the vital moments of that fourth quarter when that game could go either way. And then, boom, it swung it really big towards Michigan's way, and they can win on down there to score and pile on afterwards and get two more touchdowns. So the game looked bigger than what it was. But for me, it was like a three-minute period in that fourth quarter where that game really swung, and it never went back the other way.
Roman, one of the questions that I was asked today, and I don't think these questions really matter, but I'll ask anyway, and that is whether you thought Michigan was – the best team in the country. And I realize they won the championship, but there's still this lingering doubt about Georgia versus Michigan, a game we did not get.
Yeah, and it's funny because my man Henny, shout out to Henny over here, you know Henny, and a big FSU guy, and he's already texting me last night that, hey, you know, Michigan won with subpar quarterback play in the biggest game, but really good defense. Well, Florida State could have did that too. And so Florida State's still trying to uproar whenever they can because things aren't fair. And Georgia, I've never said Georgia wasn't the best team in the country. I did say all year that two teams could beat Georgia. That was Alabama and Michigan because of the way their styles in which they play about going around their business. And then we saw Michigan really win games up front defensively versus Alabama. And we saw that again versus Washington. But Georgia, I had a Georgia fan already text me, we could have beat this team. We could have done. And I don't disagree with them, Paul. I'm not going to sit up here and disagree with them. But at the end of the day, they lost the wrong game, and Michigan didn't lose any games. And because of that, they're in. And I don't want to hear Florida State talk about it because I'm talking about wins and losses. But you lost the wrong game if you're Georgia. And if you're Florida State, you lost the wrong player.
Speaking a bit back to what I was talking about earlier, as I was sitting here with you, Roman, I saw something from Uncle Luke down in Miami. And you need to help me with this because I'm not a cool guy. I'm just a talk show host. And I have no earthly idea why Luke Campbell tweeted this out. But explain this to me. I think I know this is a hot club. So all of a sudden, he sends out a tweet 3 minutes ago saying, I really want to take Feinbaum to Tootsie's Cabaret. So I know that's a club. So tell the audience what he's trying to do. Why is he saying this, and what's it all about?
Because, Paul, literally in Tootsie's, you can have whatever you like. It's like the ice cream store of cabarets, I would assume. And it's a nice time in Miami. It doesn't close for real. I mean, I've only been there like once or twice, but from the things that I hear, Paul, it's a wide variety of whatever you want. And I think Uncle Luke is just trying to help you be a better version of yourself, I guess.
Now, my question is, I need some advice. I mean, he's invited me, and you know how vulnerable I am and how naive I am. If I went down to Miami, would I get in trouble?
You wouldn't get in trouble in there, Paul. They make sure all that stuff stays not there. It's not like it's on South Beach or anything. So, okay. I mean, you're fine. The biggest thing is you're going to be within good company. I'm pretty sure if he takes you there, he's going to make sure you guys aren't just in there with the regular riffraff. You'll probably be back in like a side room or something, kind of like what you saw last night. So whenever you're amongst greatness, it's usually great things going on, and they try and keep all the things that are not going on. The GP, the Gen Pop out there, you're probably not going to be with them, Paul. I would also say you should probably leave your tie at home.
Okay. I don't take my tie to South Florida anyway. I only do that in places that end in Ville.
I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page, Paul. You know, I don't want you to showing up looking like you don't belong when you, a man of the people like yourself, Paul Feinbaum, totally belong at possible establishment like that.
I might have to have a session with your tailor before I go down there, because I don't have the clothes for Tootsie's Cabaret.
You know what? I don't think clothes are that big of a deal there, Paul. Honestly, I do not. I think you'll be okay, honestly, Paul. I've seen you dress. I think you'll be fine.
The great Roman Harper joining us on the afternoon after. Roman, thank you very much. We'll talk more about the game last night. We'll get you.
Paul, don't let these Michigan folks heat you up today. Don't let them gaslight you, Paul. All right? We still here for the people. We're doing the people's job out here, messages. That's it. You said it. Go blue. It's that easy, Paul. See you later.
Roman Harper joining us. We'll take a break. More to come, a lot more to come, and many more guests as well. We're here on a Tuesday afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. A lot happening today. John U. Bacon, the leading authority on the University of Michigan football program in the entire world, maybe the universe. Seth Emerson, a leading authority as well. Bash is up next in Boulder. Hello, Bash.
My Bash brother Paul, how's it going today, sir?
We are doing superbly.
Superbly as well, and that was a superb interview you had with the greatest safety in Alabama history, in my opinion, Roman Harper. Now, Paul, last night after the game was over, did you by chance see Ric Flair's tweet he posted about you?
I did not.
Well, allow me to read it for the Paul Feinbaum audience and expose all the lies he told. Ha ha, Paul Feinbaum forever doubting Coach Jim Harbaugh. And let me remind Ric Flair, you picked Michigan to win the game yesterday. Next, and according to you, the NFL would never take him either. You and I, Paul, have had several conversations for months now saying how he would fit in the NFL. So that's another lie. And the last thing he said was, I want your job on the SEC network. Let me just correct Rick by saying, no, you don't. You do not want to talk to these crazy people for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. No one wants that job. Paul, you are the absolute man. And one last question I have for you, Paul, because there was something Rick said yesterday that I was a little curious about. Is it true that he offered you two tickets front row to the wrestling show in Charlotte, North Carolina this weekend, or is that another lie?
I am completely unaware of that.
So that's another lie. I agree. So one last question, Paul. I have an idea to put all this hostility to rest. How far is Greensboro, North Carolina from Charlotte? About an hour and a half, about a 100-mile drive?
That is correct.
So on March 3rd, Paul, the Greensboro Coliseum is going to be hosting a premium live event wrestling show where Ric Flair is going to be cornering Sting for his final match that hasn't been announced yet. But I just have an idea that can put all this to bed and put everything coming to fruition. Sting with Ric Flair versus Goldberg with Paul Feinbaum in his corner. What do you think about that, Paul?
Thanks for the call, Blair. But Bash, good afternoon to Jim up next in Florida. Hello, Jim.
Afternoon, Paul. Two questions and a comment. First question. This Connor Stallions, the fellow that was accused of sign stealing, has he ever been interviewed by the media, or if not, why do you think not?
To my knowledge, no, he has not. I'm sure it's for his own reasoning. I'm guessing that he may have a book deal somewhere, so that would mean he would be precluded from discussing anything.
Second question concerns FSU's ranking in the AP poll, 6. Now, they lose to Georgia by 60, and they're still ahead of three other teams that won their bowl games. Does that make any sense?
No. The final rankings never make any sense, and I really don't understand the rationale. First of all, Georgia should have been ranked ahead of Washington. And I think there's a tendency to try to protect the four that were in, although Alabama was not this year. Usually it's the same four. But Georgia made that more difficult, and I would have knocked Florida State clear out of the top 10.
Final comment. When I see I-Man's picture up when he calls you, it reminds me of an image from the Shroud of the Turin. Do you think he borrowed that?
I'm afraid he did, but then you would have to explain to him what that means. Jim, thank you very much for the call. John, up next.
Well, it's either Shroud of Turin or Charles Manson. You can take your pick on that one. Hey, Paul, if you go to the cabaret, I have two recommendations.
Sure.
Bring your ATM card, and not every performer, you're not obligated to put them through medical school, okay?
I hear you.
Okay. Hey, on the game, I thought Michigan's defense was the dominant issue in the game, and I know it's power rushing, but when you watch Michigan, they play with unbalanced lines, fullback, two tight end sets, jumbo packages, misdirections, man in motion. It's just incredible to watch the different schemes they use. But I think it's safe for you now to go up to Ann Arbor and do that stand-up gig in January, based on what you said on Mike Greenberg's show today. Don't you agree?
Well, I said it because I believed it. I didn't know what the questions were, and I tried to be honest about it. I did cheer for Michigan last night, and it didn't concern me one bit about what had previously gone on.
Well, you've been candid. I had an idea for you. You know, I saw that moment when John Harbaugh arrived late
right.
to his plane, and it was just special when he tapped his brother on the shoulder. But later you saw Jack Harbaugh, and I remember you had that interview, I don't know, 25 years ago. And given that possibly John Harbaugh may win the Super Bowl. I think it'd be a cool idea to go up to Ann Arbor and do the interview again with the two boys and the father.
Yeah, I told this story once, and in fact, John, it's been longer than that. I got an offer in the mid to late 80s from it was called Sport Magazine. Remember that magazine? It was a really good magazine. And they wanted a story for their college football edition on two fathers and two sons, two quarterbacks, the two of the most prominent schools in the country, and their fathers. And obviously you know part of the story already. Jim Harbaugh and Jack were part of my assignment, and I went and talked to both of them. And the other two were Mike Shula, who was the starting quarterback at Alabama, and his father, Don Shula, from the Miami Dolphins.
Great guy. Yeah, legends.
And it was a fun story because, Jim was, they were both seniors in college. The two, you know, obviously Don Shula, a lot better known than Jack Harbaugh, but still the connections of the father-son. It was a really fun story. It was probably the first time I'd ever done anything for a national publication, and it was really a big deal. I think they gave me $100 for it, which I thought was like pure gold.
Well, I'll tell you, the other quote I picked up last night is Harbaugh saying, now he can sit at the
boy table. That was funny.
He's got a trophy like his brother and father. I thought that was cute.
I was really moved by, I've always liked John Harbaugh. I feel like in some ways, he's been, since winning the Super Bowl, he's been a little bit snake bit.
With injuries.
Yeah, I mean, every year it just comes down to some bizarre call that keeps them out of the playoffs or circumvents their run. Hey, thank you. This may not be that year, though. We'll take a break. We have a lot to do. We've already had Roman on. We have a couple more guests. John, you Bacon in about an hour. Your phone calls continue right here.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's continue with some more calls. Sammy is in Nashville. Hello, Sammy.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been a little while since I've called in, and I hope you've been doing well.
Thank you very much. We're doing great.
Yes, sir. Congratulations to Michigan, by the way. Obviously, they beat everybody on their schedule. How they beat them is not up to me to decide or judge. But what I will say is that for all the people out there that are just waiting for Nick Saban to retire, are we going to wait another 15 years? Because retirement is for normal people, okay? And Nick Saban is not a normal person. And for those people out there that love what they do for a living, like you, Paul, retirement is like telling yourself, I'm just going to go sit on the couch, right? And that's sort of the end of life. Well, Nick Saban's not that kind of guy. You can tell. Anybody with a brain knows that. But what are your thoughts on that take on, retirement being for like
There are a number of reasons why people retire. Sometimes you have to because let's say you're the head of a company that has a mandatory retirement age at 65 or 68 or 70. So therefore, you have to leave. You have to find something else to do. There are other people who have worked in the same job for 35 or 40 years, have saved enough money through their company pension plan, and simply want to do things they've never done. Now we're talking. Now let's move to the next level, the Nick Saban level. He has all the money in the world, but Nick Saban wouldn't be happy sitting on a beach, sipping margaritas and reading John Grisham novels. He really feels like he has a cause, and I've heard people describe it as he and his wife as a ministry, where they really feel like they're making a difference. And by the way, they are making a difference. So he's got a more complicated situation. There's nobody at that university that would ever suggest that his time has come, and that would be foolish. So I mean, let's look at the last couple of years. He's finished first in the country, fifth in the country, and fifth in the country. That's hardly
a drop off really last year.
If we
stop Tennessee on two drives or so,
right, of course.
I mean, we're talking about a different.
By the way, I think you just nailed it. That's what keeps him going. What doesn't keep you going is what Bill Belichick is going through. You're getting your brains beaten out every week, and the fans are sick of you. And by the way, Belichick and Saban are the same person. They both have, Belichick have 6 or 7 Super Bowls. The problem with Belichick is he stuck around so long that now most people don't believe those are his Super Bowls. They believe those are Tom Brady's Super Bowls. You can't say that about Nick Saban.
Right. Well, do you think Belichick's going to be at the Nick Saban Recovery Institute anytime soon?
No, I think Belichick could get a job tomorrow. I just think he's got to abandon the job he has today first.
Obviously, yeah. Well, I really appreciate it. The only other thing I wanted to ask you is my family has been in business in Birmingham for almost 50 years, and I'm sure you probably heard of Sammy's before.
Of course.
And we used to do a lot of advertising on jocks back,
yes,
25 years ago. And we're still in business. I just figured I would throw that out there for anybody that's looking
for Sammy,
something to do on
the explain
weekend.
This to me. Sammy's was a nightclub, right?
Yeah, it started out as a go-go club,
right,
back in 1974. My grandfather, he had a pool hall over in Fairfield. For those of you who don't know a lot about Birmingham, there's a lot of Italian and Sicilian heritage.
Oh yeah.
A lot of people came over and worked for the mines and things like that, for the metal businesses. My grandfather was a son of Sicilian immigrants. Our family came over, and he had a pool hall, and he basically turned it into a go-go club back in the mid-70s before it really became a thing here in the United States, and the rest is sort of history.
I'll tell you a funny story, Sammy. You may or may not remember every Christmas we have our friend Archbishop Marino on, and he used to, when he was at the Vatican, he would call in, and somehow, depends on how the call is routed, but I think years ago he called in and was, we may have still been at Jocks, so he would get the Jocks feed. Jocks is the radio station in Birmingham, our big
right.
affiliate there where I used to work. And he told me in the span of like 3 minutes, he was, before he came on to give his Christmas homily, he was subjected to a Sammy's commercial, which is talking about come out and see the women at Sammy's late at night, which very suggestive, as you remember. And the next commercial was for a male enhancement clinic. And and he said, he said, do you always have commercials like that? I said, Archbishop, don't worry about that. You worry about saving the world. We'll worry about, what advertisements we have on the radio. But it was very funny. Sammy's used to have the most suggestive radio ads I've ever heard.
Yeah, that was actually my dad. My dad was sort of like my grandfather's right-hand man. My dad used to give him all of his tips whenever he was sacking groceries over at Bruno's as a kid.
That's fine.
They were really a creative and funny duo. I never got to actually meet my grandfather. He died 3 months before I was born, but my dad, he played a really integral and really important role in our expansion into Pensacola and Fort Walton Beach throughout the years. And heck, whenever I was born, my dad was near retirement. So
Sammy, as you well know, we mentioned celebrities early on. If I remember correctly, the celebrity athletes used to gravitate to Sammy's late at night.
Yes, yes. We have quite a few pieces of memorabilia. We have a lot of Sammy shirts, things like that, that we keep, you know, safe in our own, you know, personal possessions. Alabama quarterbacks throughout the years have visited Sammy's and signed our shirts for us. And it's just really a staple, I think, of Birmingham. And it's just kind of an old world thing nowadays. Everybody's on a phone now. So, you know, it's a whole different business now. But, you know, we still strive to elevate the customer experience. We try to keep it really nice and classy. And, you know, we don't tolerate anything, you know, taboo happening on the prem. We really don't. That's how we've lasted 50 years. So, you know, it's just something that I thought you might, you know, about in terms of being a Birmingham guy.
No, I mean, I don't live there anymore, but I feel like I still do. When calls like this come up, I miss it greatly. Hey, thank you, Sammy. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'll tell you what we'll do. Why don't we take one of our famous callers here?
Well, I would say that a Georgia-Alabama rematch would have been better than watching the Crows last night. Would you agree with
hey,
that?
Hey, Darryl, we cannot hear you. Can you do something about that connection?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, well, the screener could hear me. I said I would say that a Georgia-Alabama rematch would have been much better to watch than watching them two scrubs last night. Would you agree with that?
I do not, no.
Why? I mean, that wasn't no game. That wasn't – Georgia-Alabama would have been much better, Paul.
Well, that's that may be true, but Michigan happened to advance, and so did Alabama. Hey, Darryl, it's not my fault that Georgia lost again to Alabama.
Paul, that ain't got nothing to do with it. We played Alabama in our SEC title game. If we'd have played the team that Michigan played or the team that Texas played or the team that Washington played, we would have easily got in. So, you know, that's a bunch of garbage, but all that's going to change.
Darryl, I got bad news for you. Nobody cares about Georgia's problems, okay?
And said that Alabama should have ran the Tebow pass, the jump pass.
They didn't.
What? Legend failed to take the full picture, Paul. They missed the field goal. They missed the extra point. It shouldn't even come down to that. But let me ask you this. When I watched that game, that did not look like the same offensive line that played against Georgia. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, I was shocked. It seemed like with me, with Milrose, he's real good from 40 yards, 50 yards. But the tighter the field gets, he's not so good then. He's not so good. But, Paul, we're not going nowhere, okay? We're preseason ranked. Well, we are going to be ranked number one. I think Vegas, they had Georgia preseason ranked number one 2 years ago. We won a national championship. They said Michigan this year, they won a national championship. We will be the favorite next year, and we will win the national championship. You can bet on that. See ya.
Where have I heard that before? We will take a break. It was like a year ago. We will three-peat. Listen, I love Georgia. Kirby Smart, to me, I just hope he stays there. But he lost the game that mattered. That's part of the consequences of life. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and let's continue with Tony in New York. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? Love your show.
Thank you.
Actually called to gloat about my boys from Michigan. Go Blue.
Go Blue.
And I was down in Miami a couple of years ago when Georgia really took it to them. And down deep, I wanted another shot at Georgia this year. But we got Alabama, and wanted to just call you and gloat and say, Go Blue. Woo!
Well, you're entitled to it. Hey, that's... I mean, you've been in the desert long enough. You finally got a complete championship for the first time, what, since before World War II?
It was a long time coming, and I'll tell you, some of the criticism towards Harbaugh was, justified listening to your show and watching your show through the years, and I'm glad to see he got over the hump as well and beat Ohio State, our nemesis, you know?
You're right. Hey, Tony, enjoy it. Listen, Harbaugh, I was very impressed with what I saw and heard from him over the last week and a half. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Jay is also calling from Michigan. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. Well, first of all, I want to commend you on your willingness to admit to what might have been a mistake in judgment on your part in dealing with Michigan and Harbaugh. I've actually talked to you a couple of times before. I think I'm a level-headed Michigan fan. I've been a season ticket holder for 49 years. I've been to 360 Michigan games. And I will be the first to acknowledge that Michigan has its share of obnoxious fans, whatever you want to call them. And I guess I don't quite understand. Has there been something that has happened to you in your experience with Michigan fans in particular? It seems that over the years you've been much more insensitive to Michigan over-the-top fans than from a lot of other schools. I've been to, I don't know how many schools in the country, football, and, every school has its share of people like that. Those that you don't want to admit are your fans, And I guess I've seen that you've had what seems to me to be a little bit irrational hatred towards Michigan, and I just wonder, what is it exactly that has created that?
Well, I think some of it started in jest, and as all things that start in jest, they end up being taken seriously. I never set out to have a war with Michigan fans. It just happened. And I think some of it is that Michigan fans have this intense pride of their school. And by the way, I'll admit it's a great school. I have a number of, you'd be surprised how many friends I have, people that even I work with in a professional setting beyond what I do here that are graduates of Michigan. So I feel like I understand the fan base okay. And I just kind of started a routine years ago about what is this fan base so proud of? They've won one half of a national championship in 70 years. And that became a bit, and then I went after Harbaugh in, 2017, 2016, one of those years, about some deal when he accused Saban or Kirby Smart of cheating, and that's really when it escalated, when he tweeted out at me, calling me the SEC water boy, and he referred to me as Pete Feinbaum. That became national, and then he started, he didn't start. He continued to lose to Ohio State every year. So I got called on to comment on that. And I didn't really ask to be the leading authority from the South on Jim Harbaugh, but it just happened.
Right. I think that is a very good, to-the-point analysis of what happened. If you remember when Jim Harbaugh was at Stanford, he made some disparaging comments about Michigan.
I do remember that.
There was a faction that didn't necessarily want him coming back.
No, no. Hey, Jay, I'll tell this quick story because we're short on time. But about 3 years ago, I can't remember, 4 years ago, I ran into Tom Crean at the SEC spring meetings. Crean was a coach at Georgia. Yep. You may or may not know, but Crean's married to Harbaugh's sister. And
yes.
He stopped me like at midnight at the hotel, and he said, "What's going on with you and Jim?" And I gave him pretty much exactly what I just told you. And he said, "We're going to take care of that." And he literally called me right here during the show one day. He was up at Jack Harbaugh's house. John was there, Jim was there, and the sister was there celebrating Coach Harbaugh's 80th birthday. And he said, "I just talked to Jim. I'm going to put him on the phone." And he was going to invite me to come play golf with Harbaugh and then spend the day up there at some charity event. It just so happened I was in the middle of a sitcom proposal in Hollywood, and I could not miss it. So because of this silly sitcom, otherwise I would have been up there. And all this may have been cleared up, and I may have been on the sideline last night in maize and blue.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.